Hallelujah. I don't know how old Rahab was. But then let me backtrack a little bit. During the time of Moses, Moses sent out 10 spies, right? Of which 8 came with fearful and doubtful report. But only Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report that we are able to take the land. They didn't just come to spy Jericho. They came to spy the whole of Canaan. If you know your history, Bible history very well, Jericho is the first city in Canaan. Amen? There are several cities in Canaan. So now, when the baton was passed on to Joshua, the man who had been there before, No. Maybe we'll learn a lesson here. Faith has been established. But due diligence needs to be made as a leader. Joshua still sent 2 men to now go and spy Jericho. Go and survey it. I need a feasibility study of Jericho, so that we know how we will approach it. I know we've seen the whole of Canaan, but we can't take the whole of Canaan at the same time. We have to take Jericho first. You know that if you don't solve number one problem, hello? Huh? You can't leave number one problem and start solving number two. There's a saying where I grew up, my former country, that when tree fall on tree, is the one at the top you remove first. Jericho was the one at the top. Praise the Lord. So, don't ask me how these 2 guys ended up in Rahab's parlor. I am sure they were led by God. Why? From my little experience following God, God always prepares somebody ahead of whatever his program is. Hello? He always sends somebody ahead of whatever his program is. I can tell you of Joseph, it was not a coincidence that his brothers couldn't kill him. Let me tell you, even if the traders did not pass by, they can't kill him. Did you hear me? Yes, huh? David, that was anointed, oil was poured upon him, and God said, this is the man after my own heart. This is the man that's going to be the king after Saul in Israel. There is nothing Saul could do to kill him. The hand of God is upon your life, and you are still afraid of the devil. Rahab's destiny was rearranged, but still not without our own agreement, not without our own participation. Praise the Lord. I'm going somewhere with this. If God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, remember God had been in Jericho even before the 2 spies got there. Hallelujah. Where you are going, where you want to go, where you want to be, God has already been there. That is why you need him to hold you by the hand and guide you by his eyes and guide you by his word and guide you by his Holy Ghost so that you can get there. Sometimes we think we can run faster than God. Hallelujah. Eh? Let me put it this way. God is like Las Vegas. The house always wins. Gamblers here will know what I mean. Amen. Don't just look at me like, oh, I've never done, you know. If you gamble against the house, you lose. Nobody ever gambles against God and win. God always wins. Praise the Lord. So the spies came there, and Rahab knew why they came. How many years has passed now? They have gotten to Jordan. They are at the bank of Jordan. I will say precisely, maybe 39 years or 40 years has passed since they left Egypt. Amen? So, how did Rahab know them? How did Rahab know what their mission was? You know, our parlor or our brothel is like the barber shop. If you have been to a barber shop here, especially the black barber shop is a place you can go and sit down and you will hear all the news of the city. You understand what I'm saying? You hear all the news. So, all kinds of human being comes to patronize Rahab. Whether she was the only one there, I don't know. And in the process, travelers. Did you hear what happened in Egypt? When? 40 years ago. There is a people marching on. They are coming. Their God defeated Pharaoh. Remember, Egypt was the strongest nation that time. Now they just defeated the Amorites. Rahab was hearing testimonies. Word of God through allotry. Oh my God, this God is great. Praise the Lord. You see, God doesn't do anything by mistake. Rahab was prepared without her knowing that she was prepared. She was hearing the word. She was receiving the testimonies of how the children of God were marching for the last 40 years. Remember, I said, I don't know how old she is. When she saw these spies, even the old nation knew that spies came in. She knew their mission. Let me read something to you. Joshua chapter 2. I read from verse 8 because of time. Now the spies had come. From verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. She went to hide them when the king's army were looking for them to kill them. You know. And she said unto the men, I know. Everybody say, I know. How did you know? I know. This is a woman ready to act on what she knows. But when you are in a church that feeds you information about God, and you know, and you are not ready to act, and you are not ready to take advantage of it, and you say you are a child of faith. No, you don't have faith. Did I tell you the title of my message? Faith that God honors. Faith that God honors. I know that the Lord had given you the land. Oh my God. Who is seeing this? Huh? Before even they came to Jericho to march around. She said, God has given you the land. I can see it. From what I've been hearing, I know He has given you. There's a song we used to sing. God, or yes, he has given us the city. Yes, he has given us the land. Not by power, not by might, by my spirit, says the Lord. We will fight, we will conquer, we will rise. Oh, I can stand here and share the vision of this church until I'm blue in the face. Some will still not see it. My heart was gladdened last week when Tamra stood here. If you were here, you heard it. From my little living room till where we are. She said she had already seen it. Amen? How? By the words that God speaks. Oh, we may be here now. No, no, this is not our bus stop. There's a place where we are going. And God has already given it to us. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of time. I know, she said, that the Lord had given you the land and that your terror is falling upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard, they all hear her, but she's the only one acting. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea 40 years ago. Hello, she was talking about it as if it happened yesterday. For you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Israel was the talk of the town even before they got there. Do you know how many people talking about you? Talking about your progress, and yet you can't see it. They see your potentials in you. Let me tell you, somebody who sees your potential that you don't know, that you may not see, Satan. He sees your potential. Amen? He can see it. That's why he will attack you. He will barrage you. He will discourage you. He will make you try to make you to sin and fall and fail. Somebody say, minus me. Minus me. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. She said, as soon as we have heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above. She even knew. The Lord your God is the God of where? Is the God in heaven above. Let me tell you something. This means there is no place higher than God. There is no place greater than the power of God. And there's nowhere you can go that the eyes of God and the hands of God cannot reach you. I'm reading the words of a former harlot. She was still a harlot here. As a matter of fact, I want to agree that she's born again here. Amen? For her to be saying this, she's born again here. She was ready to turn her back. In her heart, she had turned her back against that lifestyle. Verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me. You can read all the rest. That hey, when you come back to take this city, you have to save me. I must be saved. You see, the faith of Rahab is a little tad different from that of Ruth. Ruth lived with Naomi. Naomi spoke about her God all the time to the face of Ruth. And you know, Ruth's level of faith is another level of faith. Makabo Shande.
If your God was that great, why did you come here looking for food? Hello? Huh? Oh, your God is the God of Bethlehem, where there is so much bread, but there was no bread. You came here to Moab. What kind of, that was what Oprah, or Oprah, that's what she thought. I said, I ain't going with this woman. If their God can't give them bread. Have you heard the phrase, physician, heal yourself? Oh, my God can do this. My God, this and that. This and that. If your God is God. As if we want to prove God by the physical things we can see. God is bigger than those things. Nothing changes God. My God remains the same. The Bible says in Psalm 145 and verse 6, that the wondrous work of God, that men will keep on talking about it. They kept on talking about it to the hearings of Rahab. She feared God. Suddenly the fear of God came upon her. The fear of God's people came upon her. She believed the messengers. And she believed the message. To the extent she risked her life. Let me tell you something. Faith you say you have and can take no risk, it's no faith at all. Ask, go and read anything about faith. You see it in Abraham. You see it in David. You see it in Rahab. You see it in Jephthah. Faith by action is faith that takes risk. You see, when I say faith that takes risk, faith that abandons itself on the word of God. You know, some people say they have faith and they want to jump inside the den of lion. No, I'm not talking about that one. Because God didn't tell them to jump there. Amen? Daniel did not jump in the lion's den. He was put there by force. Amen? The Bible says if you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. What the Bible means is, if they force you and you say in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to die, you can't kill me, you won't die. But when you carry the poison and say the Bible says, if I drink any deadly, they will call ambulance for you. That is temptation. That is not faith. Praise the Lord. Faith is what we saw Peter do when Jesus was walking on water, right? And Lord, he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. He trusted Jesus because he knew the voice. He started walking. That's for another day. Hallelujah. She believed the message of impending destruction that was coming upon the nation and the people. Praise the Lord. Rahab did not know Moses. You see, oh Lord, how am I going to finish this message here? Okay. There are some people who for 40 years walked in the wilderness and saw the pillar of cloud by day, right? In the night, they saw the pillar of fire, right? Food was baked for them every day. Meat was brought to them supernaturally every day. The water followed them everywhere they go so that they can drink. Yet they didn't believe. Huh? In spite of all that God did, yet they didn't believe. Now there's just this person who heard. She didn't see. Hello? The Bible says, blessed are those who have not seen but believe. She did not see, but she believed.
contrary to those who saw, and yet grumble and complain every day. For 40 years, complain. They were under the tutelage of Moses. They saw Moses come down with two tablets of stones. They saw on the mountain fire, thunder, darkness. They saw all those. They heard the voice of God literally. Rahab only heard the voice of mean men, drunkards, who were speaking the word. Like Balaam heard the voice of his donkey speaking to him. And yet the donkey was saying the truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She had no pastor, but she had a heart and ears open to what the God of Israel is, or to who the God of Israel is and what he's doing. Hallelujah. How did Rahab endured God's mercies? By a willingness to make God the Lord of her life. She was like, remember me. Remember me. Swear to me. But now, not me alone, but also my family. How persuasive are we to win our families to God? How persuasive are we to introduce Jesus or introduce our children to Jesus? It's a continuous persuasion. We live in this world that is twisted, that some of our children are caught in the whirlwind. But our persuasion in the place of prayer, our confrontation in their face with the word of God, will still win their soul. She was persuasive. This was a woman. The Bible didn't mention she has a husband. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have a husband. But she had parents. She had families. She said, I don't want to enter that's your I don't want to serve your God alone. I want the whole of my family. Joshua said, hi, my household, we will serve the Lord. I and my household, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine when they came, she demanded no money from them. Huh? It was not, I'm going to hide you, I'm going to shield you and protect you, but you are going to pay me. If she had asked for money and they gave her and her money would have perished on the day Jericho fell. Hallelujah. But she wanted something more precious than gold. She wanted something more precious than money. She wanted the salvation of her soul. Amen. I was talking to a young girl yesterday afternoon. She came to accept Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And if I go by my previous encounter with her earlier yesterday, I'll just ignore this one. She was like Rahab. But then she heard the word of God. In the group of the people that were there, she was the only one that stood up. A grown woman. And started crying. It's been a long time since I've seen sorrowful heart salvation. I saw one again yesterday. You know, it's not the kind of, okay, Pastor. No. There was sorrow, genuine sorrow of heart.
when she was living with the group of people she was living with, you could see the bounce in her step. She didn't know I heard it. I was in my car. She was like, I feel so much better. Salvation of the soul. She demanded no money. She saw possibilities. She saw an opportunity. Let me tell you something. If you are a child of faith, you must always see possibilities in the God of possibility. Hallelujah. Always see possibilities. If somebody like Rahab can see possibilities, how much more those of us who have been under the word week in, week out? Those of us who have been washed in the blood. We don't trust God enough to show up for us. A friend of mine, whom I've known for almost 30 years, we've not spoken for a long time, and he too is a pastor. We talked for like 1 hour on the phone. And by the time I was done, it was like, and I don't say this for any self-glorification, God forbid, but for the glory of God. It was like, Pastor Cal, this is what I'm saying. That when I call you, pick my phone. You don't know what you have done to me with all the things you have said to me. You have built up my faith. I said, iron sharpens iron. Amen? I'll never be on the phone with somebody gossiping or anything that is not God glorifying. Hallelujah. When Rahab found a way to God, or found her way to God, she set her faith above the fear of man. She didn't care hiding those spies, shielding them from the officials. She didn't care what her people were going to do to her if they found out. You know what I mean? Because she's somebody that our whole nation will have called a traitor. Or her family, if they didn't believe, would have called her what? A traitor. She was ready to turn her back against her family for this new family. But you know what? She turned her back to her nation. She turned her back to her culture. That, hey, I'm going to embrace this God culture. That's what Ruth did. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you lay your head, that's how where I'm going to lay mine. You see, Ruth and this Rahab, they have something in common. Amen? Your God will be my God. This word inadvertently, Rahab was telling those men. We see Rahab in a higher level of commitment to faith. It was action. That faith honored God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She risked her life. In this side of the world, I see mostly bread and butter Christians. Bread and butter. Not willing to take risk. Their Christianity has no pain to it. Their Christianity has no suffering. Ah, if God is this difficult, ah, No. And you know what? That when they end up in hell, it's going to be louder than that. It's going to be on the highest volume. Praise the Lord. And the funny thing is, I can't finish this message today. So we are going to have real point two next week. Because of time. These people, though they were the winning side, they didn't look like the winning side. They were actually at the mercy of Rahab. She could have busted them. Huh? They were at her mercy. But yet she put herself at their mercy. You know why? Because she knew that they were the winning side. That's why I tell you, you can't bet against God and win. She knew she couldn't bet against them. They didn't look like it. Today, Wisdom Assembly does not even look like a 1,000-seater church. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you something. Who even cares about 1,000-winner church or sitting church? That's not my motivation. But what he said he will do, that's what he's going to do. Hallelujah. And the only thing I can do is follow him. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not the one that promised it. Did I ever tell you that I'm the one that promised? I'm not the one that promised it. It's God himself that promised it. Amen? So he must know what he saw. Praise the Lord. He must know what he saw before he promised it. I told us, when I came to Kansas City, the Holy Spirit directed me to this axis, that this is where our church will be. And the building I went to is on the other side there. I called the realtor. Oh, would like to use this place for church. Okay. I said, but now we don't have money yet. Bam. Slammed the phone. It's almost 10 years. That building is still empty. It's still empty. I didn't curse it. I didn't say nothing. Actually, it was funny to me too. I just laughed. You know, I even look at myself as somebody who is not serious. You know, let me leave it at that. How can you tell somebody you want to use your building and you don't have money? Are you out of your mind? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Even while they were at her mercy, she still chose them. She cast her lot with them. Rather than keep on following what she's used to. And that's one of the challenges of our faith. We want to hang on to the way we are used to. And we are afraid of the way God is presenting to us. Everybody wants to be in control. Isn't so? Right? That the one you can't control. Some people, they are not the one driving. Amen? They are only sitting in front. But they are the one controlling the driving. I'm not mentioning anybody's name. You understand? Red light, stop, stop! We are afraid when we are not in control. You know how to drive, but if you are sitting in front, shotgun, when somebody else is driving, you are holding, and yet they are not speeding as much as you do. Because God is saying, I want to be in control. Give the control
over to me. For 1 minute we will do so. And then we'll take it back. God, I don't trust you enough to control my life. And we want to be in control. Rahab was ready to abandon everything. If I perish, I perish. That's what Esther said. That's a great statement of faith. That's what the three bull boys said too. If I perish, if we perish, we perish. We know our God is able. But if, even if he doesn't, we are still not going to do it. Hallelujah. Let me end today by a statement. A question that might come to somebody's mind, because I can't continue because of time. When the officials came, we know that two men came here. Where are they? She hid them on the roof, right? She said, they're not here. They already left. As a matter of fact, they went that way. Now somebody might ask, not only is she a harlot, she's a liar. And yet, God. Now. Let me explain something to you. There is a saying, so that I don't waste time. They say the dog that will get lost doesn't hear the whistle of the hunter, of the owner. Bingo that would die by car crash, that you keep calling, Bingo, come back, Bingo. He won't hear you. So those who are marked for destruction, they are also ready for deception. Did you hear me? Those who are marked for destruction. Because even if you told them the truth, they will not believe. The only thing they will believe is a lie, because they have been marked for destruction. Remember what God said. Everything in Jericho must be destroyed. She was still an instrument in the hands of God. Amen. She was still an instrument right there in the hands of God. Because all these ones, they are marked to be perished. They are marked to be destroyed. The only thing they will accept is deception. And that happens a lot in church sometimes. We believe in the razzmatazz, in the jingoism, in the who's and the hinds, in the spitting, and in the prophetic of the prophetic of the prophet. And our lives and destinies are hanging on what the prophet said. Some even have distant prophet. Some have phone prophet, email prophet. Just tell me what the Lord is saying. You know what you are? If you are in that category, you are no longer in the kingdom of God. Amen. If you have the Holy Spirit, you don't need to seek out any prophet. Praise the Lord. You seek God. Now, if God has a word for you, and he's speaking, you are not hearing, he may send you a prophet.
but not the one you go and instigate a prophet. Prophet, lie now. And then prophet said, go and bring black goat. And you have to give me XYZ amount for the next 12 months. But Pastor Carl is saying, look at our building. Do something. What you are supposed to be giving to building fund, you are giving to prophet. And at the end of the day, when a lamp blow, you know how they say a lamp don't blow. But then you won't come back and tell us the truth exactly what happened. We'll now be on the corny, merry-go-rounding level. Somebody say, God have mercy on me. Because I know I wasn't talking about any one of you. Praise the Lord. Faith that God honors will continue part two next week. But the crux here is, it's not faith if it is not acted upon. When God says it, then you are committed to doing it. When God told me to leave England in the midst of plenty, when I keep saying that, some people were like, were we there? Did you see the plenty? But I know that there's somebody here that I showed my bank statement for 1 year. Right? I showed you. I wasn't lacking at all. More than you can imagine. You understand me? More than you can imagine. And God said, leave. No. In the midst of this plenty. Now go and be begging people for offering and this and that and that. I suffered that disobedience. But then eventually I came here by faith. For those who have not heard it before, just paraphrasing. I came to Kansas City with nothing. Nothing. I didn't even know where my next meal was going to come from. I didn't have money to tag my car. But for friends. Nothing. But today, by the same hand, we are sitting in a building that is worth more than $2 million. I don't have the $2 million in my pocket. Amen? But because of obedience, yielding to God, this is where we are. When we act by faith, God will honor us. Let's bow down our heads.